Blog Talk Radio.
You know there's more to this world than what you're told. Paranormal phenomenon, supernatural forces, government conspiracies, alien visitors. Step out of the world you see, open up your mind, and get ready for another round of strange at the Supernatural Radio Show with Corrine DeWinter and Nino Del Padre. Brought to you by PurplePlates.com for harmony, healing, and living energy products for a greater quality of life. Listen up, world. Here's Corrine and Nino.
Good evening, everybody. And tonight, very special night, Midsummer's Eve. And, of course, tomorrow is Midsummer's Night. And I was just speaking with Yvette, and she's just preparing to do some readings for you guys. And you're in for a real treat because she's wonderful. One of the things about Midsummer's Eve is that it's a legend that if you find a stone, a natural stone with a natural hole through it, and you go outside with it at night when it gets dark and look through the hole, you can see fairies. And I've never found a natural stone with a hole in it, but one time I was at this bar, and this guy told me that he was wearing a natural stone with a natural hole in it. And I think the very next night was Midsummer's Eve, and I asked him, I tried to wrestle the stone out of his hands, but he wouldn't give it to me. He wouldn't even let me borrow it, which was, I think, nasty, but whatever. So if you happen to have a natural stone with a natural hole in it, go out tonight and look, and you might see some fairies. And speaking of fairies, we are bringing Yvette Scott on the air. Hello, Yvette.
Hello, hello. How are you?
I'm okay. How's it going?
It's going great. Thank you.
Now, I appreciate you coming on the show because I know you just made a big move across the country.
I did. It's crazy. I'm surrounded by boxes, and Bella's right beside me, and she's playing her video game. So if you hear a little nerd raging, that's what that is.
Bella sounds like you, Yvette. She's got that witchy laugh. You know what I mean?
I know. We do have the same giggle, and it's actually a family thing, because I had a cousin, once removed or something like that. I don't know. And anyway, she had the same giggle too. So, and I remember when I was a kid listening to her and thinking, oh, I love her giggle. It just makes you laugh. And then I heard it in my child, and I realized I have it sometimes also. So.
Right. Well, it's delightful, actually. So we're talking a little bit about Midsummer's Eve.
Yes.
Now Yvette, you guys, she has actually taken on some new projects, some new adventures, moving as she has to Texas. And one of the things she's venturing into is actually making her own spells that people can buy from her, which I think is so cool. Yvette, so you said you were actually working on a spell for tomorrow night, for Midsummer's Night.
Yeah, for tomorrow, for a lady that I did a reading for who wants to manifest more of her true purpose, which is massage, and she actually, from what we discerned today in her reading, is a great structural massage therapist. You know, there's some that are like light touched and some that are more deep massaging, and I can actually see her helping people rearrange their structure,
mm-hmm.
which is important because we carry so much stress, and some of us carry extra weight, and it actually pulls your bones out of place. And so sometimes you have to do kind of a structural rearranging. There's actually a discipline of massage called Rolfing, R-O-L-F-I-N-G,
uh-huh.
very intense, hardcore work that can give you an inch or two in height sometimes because of the way that your body is not put together properly, you know, and stuff like that. So it's, but it's very intense work, and it's quite painful for it, from what I understand. But
well,
it's kind
I
of
bet.
A structural reorganization.
Right. Well, I
which
mean,
is a little bit about what I did with my life. My moving was a structural reorganization of my spiritual life too. So, and I want to say, if I can pull this off and move across country on a whim and a dream, anybody can do it. So dream big.
That's right.
Seriously, dream big.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you're going to bother to dream, you might as well dream big, you know?
All right.
but
if I can do this, if I can pull it off, because I am one of the most disorganized people on the face of the planet, and it just seemed insurmountable when I thought about doing it at the beginning. But we actually pulled it off, and that's, if I can do it, anybody can do something like that. You can change your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is,
Yvette, that most people don't pay attention to the signs that are coming to them that are telling them to stop or move forward or move on or move away. Most people don't listen to the signs. You did.
Well, that, and, you know, a lot of people don't, their lives are so stressful. I mean, our lives are so full of stress just on our day-to-day survival that people don't see what's right in front of their eyes. And it's kind of about getting your priorities straight about what's important to you in life, how you, what you want to achieve, what's truly important, and that's family and love and home. And if you're unhappy in what you're doing or where you're at, then you need to change it because you have to know what's important in life.
Right. Well, I mean, and there's so many people, unfortunately, that do not know what is important and don't know who they are. And there's this big upsurge now of you know, new age, however you want to term them, of people like that saying that you have to remember who you are because we've forgotten who we are. We've forgotten our power. And I really do believe that. I believe that we don't remember exactly where we came from and the power that we have within us. I consider...
I agree with that. We don't remember that, and it is important. And we've had to kind of do it the hard way because we've had to come to a remembrance of it. But we are raising children who came here knowing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. And so it's, we have to kind of get on board
and get
with the program because we're responsible for these young children who are coming up who are so way far ahead of us in that realm, you know, in that way.
Right, so, right. Are you referring to like indigo children, crystal children?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's true. So, yeah, a lot of them know more than we do at heart, you know?
Right. And they're different. But, they're different kind of children and things that, you know, they're living in a world. I'm thinking, of course, of my child, Bella, who is very creative and just different. And she's being sent to a school, you know, or she's having to go to a public school that is not appreciative of that. And so, and these children are sensitive, and they know more than the other children. And so we're still working with a system that's antiquated with children who are different now. You know, nobody fits in a box, and that's kind of where they need to fit to get through school anymore. So,
well, yeah, and I mean, frankly, we couldn't really get through school either.
No.
Because I had a hard time, and I think a lot of people do, but they either conform or... they don't conform and they remain an individual and independent of everyone else's influence over the years. And it's sad because we are magic and, you know, if for lack of a better term, magic is a good one, but more than that, it's taken away by the structured system of education, what we should learn, what we're meant to or made to read in school. This is not where it is, you know.
No,
and,
I know.
We were talking before about how, you know, you would probably define yourself as a hippie, and
yeah.
Right. And it's funny because, like, you know, I would, and I said to you, I probably would say the same thing about myself, although I don't look like a hippie. But when I was growing up, I just wanted it to be, like, I just wanted to be back at Woodstock. And I was never at Woodstock, but I mean, I was all about the 60s and the whole thing about independence and peace and freedom and all that. And, you know, I'm an Aquarian, so, you know.
It's like almost like I feel the same way, like I'm a misplaced 60s person, you know, because that I relate mostly to that freedom, that sense of freedom that was prevalent in the 60s and what was happening in the world and things like that. So, yeah, I totally relate to that. And so that's kind of why I call myself a hippie. And I would have loved to have been at Woodstock, too. I've watched the movie over and over again, and I just,
yeah.
You know.
Right. I know.
Born too late. Not that much later, but just a little too late for that.
Right. One of my friends was actually, he said he was there. He was 2 years old. His parents took him when he was a two-year-old. And, you know, so that was kind of cool, you know, to have that experience.
Well, how cool is that your parents would take you there? I mean, I suppose it could be considered slightly irresponsible considering, but still, that you had the freedom to be able to, that your parents believed that you needed to experience that even at 2 years old. I don't know. It's kind of, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, Yvette, things were so different back then.
I agree.
You know, nowadays everything is just verboten, and it's really kind of pathetic, you know?
I know.
You know what I mean? But we're doing the best we can, and that's why we're doing this show right now, is to try to enlighten others to, and Yvette, your whole thing is to help others. You always help people. You've given great readings to people that have given them solace in times of struggle and pain, and so I really applaud you for doing that, and I really wish you really a great, you know, adventure in this new place and trying to enlighten more people and spreading the word and everything. So I think it's fantastic. Okay,
thank you.
we're gonna take our first caller. They've been on hold for quite some time, and I appreciate it. It is area code 941. Area code 941.
Hi, this is Carla.
Hello. Carla?
Hello.
Yes. Hi.
How are you doing?
I am doing great. I would love to know what you foresee for my near future, any changes or anything happening for me.
Okay. Let me check and see what I can see. Wow. I see that, wow, are you worrying, fretting over your future?
No, not really worrying. I'm just, you know, wondering what's going to happen.
I see a lot of activities, actually, and some parties and some things that make you feel loved and full of love. I don't know if you have any plans, but if you don't, you should make some because this looks glorious.
Well, good.
Yeah. I do see maybe that you might need to get a little more sleep than you do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. but I do. I see a lot of activities coming up and just kind of a lot of love. And I don't know if you are looking for a romantic interest, but perhaps a romance or a renewal of what you already have.
I'm looking. Well, I guess I'm starting to look.
You're starting to look. Well, there is something coming, some fun, love. So if you're invited to something, or you have an opportunity to do something where you might have said no, say yes this time.
Okay, great.
Put yourself out
there
just a little bit, you know, and enjoy this gathering. It's like a community gathering. It's like family and friends and sitting out by the lake or whatever and you know, the night air. I feel all that for you.
Uh-huh.
Just a good friends thing.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Thanks for calling, Carla.
Thank you.
Okay, and next we have area code 510. 510, are you on the air?
Hello there, my name is Sarah.
Hey, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. Hi there. I'm dating somebody with the name of Dean, and I'm occasionally dating. We're not steady. I'd like to know if you feel that there's an opportunity with Dean, or is there somebody else going to, that's going to come into the picture that's more suited for me?
All right. When you say occasionally dating, do you mean like once a week or just whenever you run into him? Or
no, maybe once or twice a month.
Yeah. I think deep down you actually have a good idea of what this man is to you. I think that you already know. It looks like he requires some patience and some tolerance and some temperance. I'm not sure if there's things that he's doing that aren't exactly what you would want him to do, or, you know, he doesn't call you enough or whatever. But the person that you've prayed for, the person that you want in your life, the person that you've asked for, those prayers have been heard. And so while I'm not sure, because I can't read his energy, only yours, that he's the one, just know that if he's not, there is someone coming because your prayers have been heard. So I feel like you have a really good sense of what you want from a relationship. Don't let your, sometimes when you feel lonely, don't let that overtake what you already know that you want. Does that make sense?
I understand completely. So you do feel that somebody, I think, better suited will come into the picture. Can you tell me anything about this upcoming romance with someone?
Well, the person who is most qualified to tell you is yourself, just because he is what you've prayed for or asked for. However, you know, I don't know if you're a religious person and you pray, or if you're more spiritual and you manifest. But the thought and the desires that you've put into it, this person is there for you. Your prayers, your intent, your focus has been heard by the universe. And they will deliver to you what you've asked for. So what this person looks like, for me to be able to tell you, you're actually way more qualified because you're the one that's prayed for it or, in, you know, manifested it.
Okay,
so
I
look for the qualities that are important to you, the things mm-hmm. that you have to have in your life to make you happy, the qualities of a person that are uncompromisable to you, integrity, a sunny personality, for some reason that comes to mind, someone who has a great sense of humor, someone who takes good care of themselves, that is passionate about what they do, all of those qualities that you desire and need in a relationship, that's what that person will look like. So there won't be any question. You don't have to question, is this the right person? It's like you ordered him from a restaurant, basically, and it showed up exactly how it is, you know. And a lot of people who are looking for a man or looking for a relationship, you know, they're like, well, I really want a relationship. Well, how do I get what I want? And you know, you wouldn't sit down at a table and the waitress comes to take your order and you wouldn't tell her, you know, oh, well, just bring me whatever you think I want or whatever you think I need. No, you're very specific. You say you want your hamburger with mustard and pickles only, and you want the sauce on the side or something like that, you know. You're specific about what you want. And so when you ask the universe for something like a relationship or like a career or whatever it is, whatever questions you throw out there, then you have to be very specific, and then you get what you want.
Well, thank you very much. Very encouraging. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Sarah. Okay, and you're absolutely right, Yvette. It's like we, you know, we take time to plan what the rooms in our houses look like and how our wardrobe looks, perhaps, but we don't take the time to say, this is the kind of man I want, you know, and we go, you know,
right.
Helter
skelter. And it requires, and you know, it takes a little work. It requires you actually knowing yourself well enough. I mean, you could say, well, I want a guy with a good job because you would like help in the financial support department, you know. But what are you really saying? Do you really want a guy that just makes money but's unhappy with what he does? Because if you find a person who's following their passion and doing what they believe in, they're going to make money.
Right, right. Yeah.
You know, so you have to really know yourself what you really want. And then the more specific you are, the easier it is to fill your order, just like in a restaurant.
Right. So it was funny when you said that because I was thinking you know, some young guy from the Chinese restaurant. It's called Some Young Guy. I'll have a Some Young Guy. Anyways, okay,
yeah.
So we're going to take the next caller, and it is area code 805. 805, you're on the air?
Hi, this is Donna. How are you?
Hey, Donna, what's happening?
Hi, Donna. Hi. I have a question. Yeah, I've been talking to a fellow who's a friend of an 89-year-old friend who's been my friend, too, and he lives on the East Coast in Boston, and his name is Jack, and I've talked to him a couple times, and he told the elderly friend that he really connected with me, and then the elderly friend gave him my phone number, and then the elderly friend gave me his number, but neither one of us have called, but I think he knows that I call every other week at the house. And he seems to be there now helping him out or visiting him. So do you see this going further with him and I?
Well, I see victories coming from your past for some reason. And so what I do, the way I do my readings is I kind of read a snapshot of the energy that is around you right at the very moment. And I know you ask a specific question, but I see, I don't know if there's been, like if you've recently had a rather chaotic time of your life or something that has happened that's kind of knocked you for a loop.
No, a boyfriend died, but he died like 6 years ago, but we had already been broken up for a year.
Yeah.
And then I've just kind of stayed by myself.
Right, I see that too.
Yeah, and, you know, meditating and walking on the beach and traveling. And now I'm helping my sister out. And, yeah.
Well, and that's probably what I'm seeing then is this sort of destructive event in your life, even though you weren't still, you know, with him. But it is from the past. But it created in you a little bit of fear and a little... like you said, isolation sort of thing. And
yeah, there was a little bit of fear, yeah, because I absolutely didn't want to get back into a relationship where I had to give up so much of myself and with the drinking and, oh, you know, I just decided,
right.
Oh, this isn't for me.
Right. Well, that all of that thought process and all of that soul searching and all of that understanding that you came to will help you in your next relationship. And don't be afraid to walk forward a little bit. And you know, like I didn't get a specific answer for this specific person, but I think you're ready to make connections again. And I think that just put yourself out there. You know, don't let what happened before in the past make you too isolated anymore. You're ready. It's time now. You know, you've done the soul searching, you've done the thinking, and you've done the coming to an understanding of who you are. And so you go ahead and move forward. You go ahead and put yourself out there a little bit. So, yeah, you know, flirt with this
guy. Yeah, because now I speak up for myself and, you
right.
know, to let the person know where I'm coming from. Yeah.
Right,
where
and that's very helpful.
Kind of just for that other person. Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a better
sort
understanding.
Sort of let whatever
happened
happen to you. Yeah, now you're taking charge. And that's a great, great position to be in. So go ahead and do that. Put yourself out there.
Okay.
You're ready. It's your time now. You've done your work. So now enjoy the reward. So flirt. Put yourself out there, you know. Open yourself up to the possibilities. All right?
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Donna.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, and next we have caller from area code 580. Hello.
Hi, my name is Vicky.
Hey, Vicky.
Hi, Vicky.
I was just wanting to know what you see maybe for the next 6 months coming up.
What's going to be happening for you?
Yeah. Because
all
the
right.
last 6 months have been really crappy.
Really crappy, so you're hoping for better results, huh?
I
don't generally do time or future stuff, but what I do is read what's around you right now, but I'll certainly lay down and see what I can see on the cards. The first thing I see is lots of sleepless nights, not necessarily coming up, but that's what is around you right now, and a lot of fretting and a lot of worry. And I also see you learning of something that you might have suspected, but but it was kind of a blow. You're protected in a sense from, even though it felt really bad for you, you are, in a sense, have been protected from some of it also. So I don't know if that's any comfort to you. It wouldn't be to me. Because if I'd had a crappy few months and, you know, they said, well, it was really worse than what you thought.
It's something that's already happened. You mean?
Well, yeah, I do. I feel like it's something that's already happened. Because what I do see coming in for you is an opening back up of yourself to love and to receiving goodness also. Because there hasn't been a lot of goodness or good feelings around the last for a while. But I see that changing and you being able to open back up to that.
Okay. Well, I lost my husband 6 months ago, and after he passed, I found out about 2 weeks before he died, he was talking to his old girlfriend that he had an affair with and told her that he still loved her. So that was kind of a big blow, especially
well,
to
yes,
the ego when I thought that was it.
Yeah. It's terrible, and it's, you know, it is something that you did find out some truth, you know, that you are in a sense protected, and in the sleeplessness, that, you know, the fretting, the sitting up and thinking about things, you know, that's harsh, but it's part of healing. In a sense, just don't let it get to overwhelm you or be too much for you, you know. And if you are feeling down, reach out to someone, you know. There are people out there who are willing to support you and hold your arms up, you know, when you can't hold your own arms up. So open to that. And it wasn't any fun, and it certainly is a blow to the ego. I mean, of course it is.
Yeah.
But also it was a blow to your heart. You know.
Oh, yeah.
And so it goes beyond just, you know, what you thought. It goes to how you felt. And be gentle with yourself and know that there's a natural healing process and a natural time frame that it takes place in. So don't be impatient with yourself and allow yourself to go along at the – and time's your friend. When I was nursing, I used to take care of patients who had strokes and survived them. And one of the things I always told the family was time was their friend. And it's kind of weird, but the further out and away from the event that you get, the more function comes back. The brain starts to regrow pathways and stuff like that. So in the same sense, in an emotional sense, the further out from the event that you get, you begin to grow new emotional pathways. And you can feel again and love again, and it won't always feel this icky, you know.
Yeah.
So reach out a little bit to people that you trust.
Do you see any travel in the next few months? I mean, a friend invited me out to Boston, That's what I was wondering when the other lady was talking. I was like, you know, I wonder if it's the same guy. He's invited my son. He told me I could bring my handicapped son also that's grown.
Yeah.
You know.
I see that there's the potential for that if you wish for it to be. The only real thing, of course, there may be also other stuff, but the only major blockage I see to that is your own personal feelings. Like you feel almost trapped, and you can actually, and you're a little bit bored too. I think you're not the type of person to stay down for long, and after a while you're like, oh God, I can't stand feeling this way anymore. You know?
Yeah.
And so you're kind of feeling trapped in your own, in the muck, you know, in the surrounding muck.
Yeah.
And so this would be absolutely marvelous for you to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't limit yourself, you know. Don't talk yourself out of it mentally. You know, listen to your heart. Your heart says go, but your mind will say, oh, no, we can't do that. We got to do this and this and this, and this is too much, and we just can't figure it out. And don't listen to your head so much, but feel with your heart and follow your heart. Your head will lie to you sometimes, you know. You'll talk yourself out of stuff.
Yeah, and it's like, it's just so hard for me to trust anybody. And I sit here and think of all the reasons we shouldn't go, you know, and then... But I know it would be good for me to get my son out of here and myself, because all we do is sit at home. We don't do anything since his dad passed.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and that's why I think, don't let yourself talk yourself out of it. Just do it. Just I swear.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding when I say I formed a plan and decided to do something, and if there was anybody that wouldn't be able to pull it off, it would be me. And we pulled it off. So there isn't anything you can't do. If I can do it, anybody can do it. Guarantee you.
That's why I just want to get on the train and with my son and go. We've never done anything like that. You know, he's mentally handicapped. He's 29. And so to see things through his eyes like that is like looking through a child's eyes. You know, he gets so excited.
Yeah,
I know, and it makes you feel better, and it makes you see things in a childlike manner. And there's, you know, that's a wonderful way to see the world. Remember when the world was magical. Remember when things just happened for you. And if you can remember those feelings and capture a little bit of that, then it just makes life easier.
Yeah.
What a wonderful thing.
Uh-huh. I
wish you the best of luck
during summer. Yeah. All right, we're gonna go then. I'm definitely gonna take him.
Cool. Oh, you should.
That is wonderful.
Yeah.
And there's something that happens. I just want to mention that there's something that happens when you take a chance yourself, even though you're uncertain. When you're so uncertain, you're like, should I do this? I don't know. I'm scared, whatever. But something happens when you take that chance, and that is that the universe steps in and helps you. So think that, any time that you can discover new places, meet new people, it's such a wonderful inspiration, you know?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, I will let you guys know how it turns out, because we're going to go.
Yeah.
Yay.
Definitely.
Good, good.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you.
Hey, thank
you're
you.
Good night.
Good night. Okay, so that, you know, Yvette, I'm thinking, like, as I'm listening to her, that how would I react in that circumstance? I might have a real hard time accepting that my husband was talking to his ex, saying that he really was in love with her. I applaud her because the only thing you can do is come to terms with it and say, well, you know, I don't know. But, yes, I understand that her biggest challenge now probably is trusting someone. But that's the sad thing about when people get hurt, and is that they close off their heart. But that is like the worst thing you can do is close yourself down or close your heart off, because when you have an open heart, There's no telling what happiness and love that you can find. And but when you have it closed, you know, and you're suspicious, it just blocks off so many things, you know.
No, I know. Well, who is that lady, Jane Seymour? She talks about that. She's designed that line of jewelry that is an open heart. And she talks a lot about opening your heart and what it means to her. I can't remember her story right off the top of my head, but she has some story.
Wow. Okay, so we're going to go to area code 805, which I think is California. Hello, 805.
Hello,
805. Hello. Okay. somebody listening to music. Okay, so I'm going to put her on mute again. And we're going to take the next caller, which is area code 956. Area code 956, you're on the air.
Hi. Hello. Thank you for taking my call. Okay, so everybody's watching the video. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, but thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, okay. I just have a quick question in regards to finance, which is in terms of my finance.
Your finances? What did you say your name was? I can barely hear you.
Tell me, I'm sorry.
You have such a soft, sweet voice. It's hard to hear.
It's Tony.
What?
I can't
Tony?
Hear her.
Yes, Tony.
Tony? Okay.
Yes.
All right. And you wanted to know about your finances?
Yes, please.
Okay. It actually looks quite well. It looks really good. Is there somebody that you have connected with in a relationship that's helping you?
No. I'm by myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I see that you're by yourself, but I also see, like, a relationship here and also sort of a learning. Are you going to school or is it talking about learning about your finances? Are you good with money?
No. I did finance before, but I used to work for a finance company before. I can deal with other people's money, but not with my own.
Your own. Yeah. Well, then maybe the relationship that I'm seeing is more of a sort of a device type thing, saying that perhaps. Because you do know this mm-hmm. about yourself. You do realize that, and I understand what you're saying because I'm exactly the same way. Give me someone else's money, I can spend it appropriately. Give me my money, I become either way too tight-fisted or I just go all willy-nilly, you know? So
well,
it's very difficult.
I'm changing my ways. I'm changing my ways.
Yeah.
I'm tightening up a lot. So I've noticed that I took a little... said to myself, you know what, that's it. I'm not going to live paycheck to paycheck anymore. I'm just going to buy only the necessities. And yes, I'll go with my daughter buy her ice cream or something, you know, nothing. But I'm going to go out and spend all this money. So just something small, but I don't think I'm going to...
I really do feel like that you can get a handle on this. I know you say that you're good with other people's money but not your own, but I get the sense that you're super smart and that you can learn how to get a handle on this and that you'll do just fine. I really don't see anything really I just see goodness there. And you're maybe not give so much of what you have away. Because
mm-hmm.
I almost feel like you help other people sometimes when you don't even have it yourself.
Yeah, I tend to do that.
Yeah, well, try not to. I mean, I know people tug at your heartstrings, mm-hmm. and some of the people, they seem to have, like, your number, you know? They kind of know
mm-hmm.
what they can say that would make you more willing to do that. And so
mm-hmm.
just be aware that some of, I mean, not in a real malicious way, but just sort of
mm-hmm.
kind of like a kid that, you know, has asked something so many times you finally just sort of just give in to them, you know? Just so
mm-hmm.
they'll not bother you anymore, in a sense. And so they've kind of been trained in that by you reacting in that way. So just be aware of those people and be careful of those people. And I really do feel like you can get a handle on this. And whatever you set your mind to, you're very determined that you will achieve. So
the reason I'm asking is because I'm thinking about buying a car. So I'm having an issue with the one that I have. So I'm trying to trade it in. So I want to see if that's going to be okay. It's going to be a good investment for me.
To trade in what you have?
Yes.
For something different? As long as you don't overextend yourself. And as long as you don't put yourself under any more stress because of how close you do kind of walk the line and walk the edge, then and you choose a good, reliable, dependable car, then, yeah, that's an excellent idea because it's only going to advance you. You know, it's going to make you more comfortable. It's going to keep you from worrying about things so much, and that just gives you more opportunity to expand other areas of your life, you know. So, yes. That's definitely a good investment, but just make sure it's not you don't get something too that's going to put more stress or burden on you.
That I understand. That's why I'm like, should I not? But I don't like having trouble with my vehicles because I see no point on giving a monthly payment on something plus having to fix additional parts in it. That defeats the purpose of it.
Right. So it would probably be a better investment for you to trade it in and then have something that you can actually drive and not have to worry about. Because I'm with you on that. I cannot stand car trouble. I have to be able to get around, and I have to have a car that I can rely on. Otherwise, I would rather not have a car at all.
Yeah, I mean, I'm having that
And you can't really live without a car, unless you live certain areas of the country.
It took me a while to not have a car. I just recently got this one 3 months ago. And I'm already having trouble with it. I'm like, no.
Yeah. See, I think you're smart. No. I think you're smart, and I think you know what you need, and I think you know what you want, and I think you can do this. And you know that.
I guess sometimes I question myself because I'm like, but I'm like, you know what, I have to do what I have to do. But you don't see any type of move for me, and because I was considering moving city, coming up, renting. That's something that's still in my head. I've not done it.
I feel like that you can create what you want. If you want to move, you can. But I also see an answer to that. What I get is that, once again, that may put you in kind of burdened. And let go of part of this financial thing that's going on is a lesson to let go of other stuff, you know. Remember what's important. Pare your life down to simple stuff and get your finances under control. And then you can have the stuff that you sort of covet or want. But don't try to create that before you can, because it's going to put you under such a burden that you're not going to be able to live life.
Well,
it's kind of like you want to enjoy what you have because you won't even have time because you're having to work so hard to maintain it.
Well, I live with my parents, and the reason I want to move out of a bigger city because I feel like there's more opportunities out there than where I'm at. And if I were to move out, it would be with my grandfather, which he lives by himself and he has an extra room, and you know, I won't really be. I guess I have someone to help me out. I won't be on my own, really.
Right.
But, you know, I'll be helping myself, but I'll be helping him out, too.
Right. Well, that's
right, which may be that partnership I saw originally. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of, it's a mutual thing. It's between the two of you, you know.
So, I mean,
just be careful that you don't overburden yourself, overstress yourself. You know that.
I'm stressing right now because I was like, I guess I was stressing because of a car problem. I'm like, no, I don't need this right now. And, you know, I discussed it with my parents. They're like, well, if you have the money to spend it, I'm like, well, it's not that I don't have the money. It's just that, you know what? I need the part, and the part cost me like $400.
Yeah.
And,
you just don't give yourself enough credit. You honestly have it together more than you give yourself credit for. I think you know the answers.
I guess when I ask, when I go for my parents for, like, what do they think, it's like, instead of being supportive of what are my decisions, they're like, oh, no, you know, if you have the money, you know, I'm like, oh, it's not even about it having, it's something more like a necessity, that, you know, this is the way it has to be done, because if it's not done this way, if it's, it's the second issue I've had with this vehicle, and then I'm going to continue having issues, I mean, I'm my tank. Okay. I mean, the type of travel that I do for work is I'm 45 minutes away from where I live to go to work. I'm like, what's the purpose of me having a car if I'm not going to feel confident driving to work?
Yeah, well, if you're traveling that much, you have to have a reliable car. That's just a plain and simple fact, and you have to fix your life so that you can do that.
Excuse me, Yvette, can you tell people how to get a hold of you to actually get a really one-on-one personal reading?
Yeah.
You can email me, and then we will get an email communication going and phone numbers exchanged and stuff like that. My email, it is Yvette Scott, all one word. At SATX.RR.com.
Okay. Okay.
Thanks for calling,
thank
Tony.
You
good luck to you.
No, thank
okay.
you. Thank you very much. Okay.
Bye bye, Tony.
Okay. And the next area code we have is 323. 323, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Yes. I don't know if they're there. Are you there? Area code 323. Okay, we're going to put them back on hold, and we have area code 804. 804 just didn't press 1. Okay, they pressed 1 before, but they didn't now, so I don't know what's going on there. Okay, let's see.
Do you area not harass your callers anymore?
Do I harass them? No, I actually haven't.
I said, do you not harass them? Have you? I remember at one time you were harassing everyone that was listening.
I know. It was kind of funny.
You
okay,
kept picking up their phone calls, and they're like, no, no, I'm just listening.
Leave me alone. Okay. We have 804 on the air. Area code 804, are you there?
Yeah. Hey, Corrine and Yvette. This is Christy.
Hey,
hi, Christy.
What's happening, sister?
Well, Skype really did a weird thing to me. I don't know where I ended up, but I figured I needed to come back. That was some weird music. Ashley was kind of nice. It was like a Native American. Might have been some, I don't know, it had a lot of drums in it. That's why I went Native American. Then they did an advertisement, and then they started talking about some Chinese stuff. So I said, well, I know I'm not on the right show. I think I'll hang up and go back.
Oh, my goodness.
So I had
that's
a little field trip.
Yeah, that's kind of funny, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, really.
Jeez.
I wonder what it was. I wonder, was it somebody else's show, or was it, that's wild.
Yeah, Emma? That is, my guess is that I Skyped in, I thought it was on y'all's show because it hit the Skype button in y'all's show, and ended up, it was a clear
maybe it hijacked your call and took you somewhere else.
It, yeah, I agree, it did. I decided to come back.
Well, I'm glad you came back.
Too far. I am too.
Just short day trips, right?
That's right. Yeah.
So, Christy, do you have a question tonight?
No, I'm more of a famous general reading type woman.
All right.
Yeah.
I we'll just pull some cards and see what I see around your energy. I like the general type because I read snapshots anyway. I see you're balancing something, juggling, more like it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I see that you do pray a lot and that you are asking for something and needing something and desiring that your prayers be heard, and they are, and you have victory coming from that. So whatever that situation is, that's your answer. The answer is
okay.
Yes. You know. Cool. And then, are you a mom?
No.
All right. There is a mother energy around you. I don't know if you're a mother to everyone in your life, in a sense.
I feel like that at work right now. I feel like the mother figure of all the men at work.
Yeah, yeah. I get a sense that in some part area of your life, you're like a mother, and that along with the joys of it also comes the frustrations of it. So just know that it's the two sides of the same coin.
Okay.
So when you know that when you get really crazy, frustrated, that there's also that these people need you in this role, this mother role.
Okay.
And that while it's hard to juggle and balance that, and they may not always say they appreciate it, there truly is a sense of appreciation for that.
Okay.
Christy, where are you located?
I live in Virginia.
Okay, okay. I don't know why I thought you were in Texas, but I was wrong. Virginia, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now
right where,
know
up,
where the...
Go ahead, Christy.
I don't know where the other Christy's from. Christy Sargent?
Yeah, maybe she's from Texas.
But
cool.
She has a southern accent, too.
Right. And Christy who's on the line right now, is referring to our chat room at Curious Times, a wonderful show that begins at 10 o'clock every single night. Chris never misses a show. The host never misses a show. As she's actually, I think she's done, is it Christy, is it 100 straight shows now? I mean, all
actually,
I know she's been,
so, yeah, 1 year. 1 year straight. It was the year anniversary, I think, on the 13th of this month.
Okay,
yeah, 365 days that she's done a
mm-hmm.
show. And she has great shows. I love her shows.
She really does. She really does. And she's in the chat room. I know she's getting ready to do her own show, of course, starting at 10. And we have Landflower and the rest are guests and yourself, Yvette. Do you have another question, Christy? Anything else you need to know?
Yeah, when are my finances going to get better?
Are you looking for a man?
Excuse me?
Are you looking for a relationship, a man?
No.
Would you be opposed to one?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there is some benefactor that is going to help you with your finances, and it may be somebody in your family that you could ask for financial help from. You're absolutely capable of fixing them yourself. I'm not saying that you're not, but that your generosity to other people. There's other people that can be generous to you. So it's almost like a male or female or a couple or a, but someone who's sort of a benefactor type person that you could actually ask and who would be willing and have been waiting sort of to give you. And it does feel like sort of family or someone you consider family. Because of your generosity. And the fact that you'd probably give your shirt off the back, your back to somebody that needed it. I mean, you're deserving and worthy of reciprocation. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. So don't be, you know, if you need help, ask for it. because those people want to pay you back for what you've done for them, whoever that might be.
Eva, is this something that Chrissy's doing right now that she could make more money at? Is there something that she's actually going to have a hand in instead of just somebody helping her out? I mean,
well, I actually feel like that she's been so very generous in the past with herself, with, you know, of herself, and of maybe even money wise, that if she needs something, she's so used to giving that she could ask somebody, and it almost feels like family or somebody that she considers family, and they want to give back because they see her, how generous she is, and they have it. It's not like something, you know, they have it to give. So if there's something or someone that you could ask something of, you know, that if you needed something particular or out of a jam, or even if you're not in a jam, but there's just a little something that would make you a little more comfortable, don't be afraid to ask, because you've been so very generous. You are worthy of receiving generosity. And, I mean, I don't know really any more than that. It just, hopefully it makes more sense to Chrissy than it does me, you know.
Yeah, in a way it does. And I guess anybody who has lost both parents, both my parents have crossed over, and, you know, I have found, even though I'm well over the age of 21, once my parents, both parents have died, it's kind of like that safety net is gone.
Right.
Exactly.
And it's kind of like, well, they did this, but, they had a heck of a lot better job, you know, financially better off than I was. And,
you have given to others, haven't you?
Yes, I have. I have a tendency, yes. And, yes, I do have a hard time receiving back. I know it goes mm-hmm. both ways. And,
you know,
it's kind of, go ahead.
When you allow someone to give back to you, just maybe a change in perspective, when you allow someone to give back to you, you're actually allowing them to fulfill their purpose. And so, in a sense, you're actually helping them. So if you can think of it like that, then it kind of takes the, you know, the feeling out of, well, I don't deserve this, or I don't want them to have to do that feeling. I don't want them to have to do that. But if you think of it in the perspective that you're actually helping them fulfill their purpose, you're actually helping them, which is what you want to do anyway. Because
right.
you like helping people, you know.
Right.
So if you can see it from that perspective, then it makes it easier, a little easier to receive. And so I know you've been generous with people, and I know if there's something that you're struggling with or something that you need, there's someone that would be willing to give that back to you, to be and allow them to do that. And that can be finances, and that can be emotionally, you know, that can be support, you know, whatever area of your life. You asked specifically about finances, but it can also be emotional support. You've given generously of yourself. Allow someone to support you emotionally a little bit, because you're actually helping them fulfill their purpose.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, that.
And you deserve it. And you're worthy.
Yeah, looking at it from that.
Never forget that.
Right. It is hard sometimes to accept help, but if you really need it and, you know, reach out your hand. It's like the starfish that grows a new limb. Every time they lose a limb, they simply grow a new one back, which is they reach out and they find what they need, and it just naturally comes back. So it should naturally come back to you somehow, you know?
Yeah, I think so. When you're a giver, sometimes that's the most difficult thing in the world, is to receive, to turn it around and to let someone do something good for you, because it's just against what you've always done. And especially if you've had a past full of givers and only got taken from, you know. So It's just like a pattern. And it takes a lot more courage to receive than it does to give for those type of people, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Because it requires you to accept something and to accept help, and it's just, it takes way more courage sometimes to receive than it does to give. But it's important because you are letting them fulfill a purpose, their purpose, and allowing them to learn their lessons of giving, you know. So in a way, you're still giving because you're helping them.
Right, that's true.
Yeah. And another thing somebody told me years ago about being able to receive, they explained it to me that actually in receiving, you're letting go of the control. You're letting somebody else be in control.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
It's kind of like, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's always scary, especially if you're like me, a control freak, you know. You want and control is an illusion anyway. And once you realize that, then, you know, nobody's really in control, you know. My favorite theory is the theory of chaos. Everything is breaking down.
Right.
You know?
Especially with Mercury in retrograde coming up, it'll be communication breakdown for some.
Right.
Well, that, I think we should all just hide in our houses and not go anywhere.
No, but it's true. You know, no one's really in control, you know?
No, it's one of the biggest, you know, illusions in the world that there is any sense of control, actually.
Right.
Well, I appreciate Yvette, your reading, and Kareem for having the show tonight. For us to be able to talk. I enjoyed being in the chat room. And
I'm glad
I'm
that
not
you...
too sure.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm glad that you came back from where you went on your little journey with Skype.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say, I wasn't too sure about the Skype thing, but yeah, I'm glad I came back to getting up on. Yeah.
And I'll see you in the chat room, Christy.
Okay, that's the deal.
At Curious Science. Okay, thanks. Thanks so much for calling us.
Okay, thank you. I'll talk to y'all later.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
She's a wonderful lady. I just love her. I think she's, like, just beautiful, you know?
I do, too.
I'm going to try 323 area code again and see if they're there. 323, are you
there?
Hello.
Hello.
And what's your name?
My name is Yvette, too.
Oh,
cool.
Yvette.
Yeah.
Yes. What's going on, sister?
Sister, I would like to get a love reading. Is that okay?
It's fine with me. Are you looking for love, or you want to know about your love?
I feel like there's energy around me. I feel like I met someone, but we had a strong, super strong connection, and he didn't call me back, and I'm not really, like, at this point into pursuing a man, to be quite honest with you, unless, you know, if you know your heart, you know what, you know, and but from what I understand, my friend shared with me today that his heart was kind of pining for someone, and I'm not generally really asking about him, but if something comes up, that's great, but I'm really wanting to know the whole divine, you know, my divine love.
Yeah. Well, I can't use, I don't usually read someone else's energy. I would only read yours and get a snapshot.
Okay.
But I get a sense that when he looks at you, he sees you as bright and shiny and out of his league, almost.
Okay.
And he feels less than perfect.
Okay.
You scare him a little bit.
Okay.
And I'm not sure why, if it's just a difference in personalities. it's almost like he thinks you know what you want and you couldn't possibly want him. He's a nice guy. He really is a nice guy. You have really great instincts and intuition about people, and it does you well in other aspects of your life, your job, just getting through life in general. It's like you can read people immediately, and you know exactly what's going on with them, and you're not always afraid to say things.
Truthful.
You don't, like, mess around. You know, people always know where they stand with you. You're very direct. And to some people who see life through more filtered than you do, because you don't really see filtered reality. You see it for exactly what it is. Exactly.
I do.
And for someone who doesn't see, I mean, not everybody sees life that way. Some people actually see things through rosy-colored glasses. I mean, it's not just an expression, but they actually filter their world because it's too harsh otherwise. So your personality, you can take it. You like to see it because it gives you, it makes you feel like you know what's going on if you see things for exactly what they are. Other people, however, can't take the harshness of reality. And so if you've got someone who has a personality like that, meeting up with someone who has a personality and sees the world like you do, it can be very scary.
You know, it's so funny.
I just got
what you just said. Meaning that my perception is pretty, his is like, I'm like, I need to know, not with him. I'm not putting any of this. I would never put ultimatums or pressure on anyone. I just see things for what the truth is. And
right.
Or someone, like, I'm not pining for someone that's not available versus him pining for someone that isn't available is a different concept than I would do.
Right. Right. And so, just know that part of it between him and you is the fact that he's a little bit intimidated and scared of the way that you see the world. And it takes more time with a personality like yours for people like that to actually come to the understanding that you're okay with it and you don't have to see through their filter and they don't have to see harsh reality and that you can still have a meeting of minds. It just takes a little while. So his initial reaction might have been, oh, my God, she's so beautiful, bright, and shiny, and she's way too good for me, and, oh, my God, she sees things for what they really are. What if she looks at me and sees that I'm less than perfect, you know? Because he, you know, and so then it might freak him out a little bit. And plus, if he's been hurt and carries baggage, as all of us do, you know, then his tendency to guard his heart, of course, is much higher than that. But you just, when you meet a man or when you connect with a man, it's not that you couldn't come together with this guy. It's just that you can be impatient.
Well, I sometimes think, you know, I'm looking for my divine mate. I think it was strong. I mean, the heart connection was pretty strong. I can't lie about that. I can't do, but I can't do if someone, I can't wait. I'm not waiting for someone that's not available.
Well, my grandma always said, and my grandma was the smartest person I've ever known in my life. She always said, true love's easy. And I never could figure out what she meant until I finally had true love. And it means there's no complications. It's not confusing. You don't have to worry or think about it. It just happens. It walks into your life and it's there. And you don't, there's nothing complicated about it. And that's truly what everyone needs is true love. And it has to be someone that fits with your personality. You know, you could have the best person in the world, and they could have the best potential. For me personally, I hoard potential. You know, I see somebody, my first two marriages, I see this person who is absolutely at their core, in their soul, the very best person in the world. But they're not doing anything about it, you know. And so I spend way longer in a relationship than I should because I'm hoarding their potential. I'm expecting that potential to blossom and to come forth, and it doesn't, you know.
Right.
And it's very painful. But it should be easy and it should be simple. You know?
I agree with you.
And not to say that there's not, that you couldn't maybe temper yourself just a little bit in some areas, you know?
Oh, I'm fine with that.
And
oh,
I wouldn't want you to change anything about you.
Right.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't want you to change, but there are less direct ways of doing things, you know, sometimes. And so,
right,
you know,
right.
We all know. My mom, my mother, she is one of the most tactful people you will ever meet. I, on the other hand, have none. I was not born with it, and I've had to actually learn it. And I still don't always do such a good job. Sometimes I actually say things before. I mean, it's like it bypasses my brain. You know, it goes from my heart to my tongue, and there's no filter. You know, so sometimes it's a learned behavior. It doesn't change who you are. It just makes things easier on the rest of the world sometimes. That makes sense to you.
Okay, on that note.
What is that, my energy in regards to?
Like a general reading?
Yeah.
General reading, when I do my readings, and I don't know how the other tarot readers do it, but when I do my readings, I'm just reading a snapshot of the energy around you. If you ask a specific question, I'll lay down the cards to see if I get a specific answer. A lot of times it's just more of a general answer, you know.
Okay.
Like if I was going to do a general reading. Bella. I would lay down the cards, and I can see that there's something that you know. About someone or something.
Okay.
You know the truth of it. Other people don't know the truth of it.
That's funny because there's a lot of truths that have been revealed to me very, very recently. And
yeah.
They don't know the truth,
like
but I
secret.
Do.
It's like a secret that you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, it's a secret. Oh, my God, you're
yeah,
right.
Yeah, and other people don't know. And it's important that you are careful with the knowledge, and
oh, yeah.
Also it's almost like your knowledge of it could be used for good, you know, but it's going to take some finesse. So once again, we're sort of in a situation where you may have to temper yourself a little.
I think this one I'm going to probably not bother with. It's pretty intense.
Yeah.
That's all temporary.
But yeah, you know a secret.
I do.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's pretty cool.
Patience. Yeah.
Well,
good luck to you.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful night.
Hey, you too, Yvette. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Yvette, I told the callers that we would get to all of them, so we're going to go to the next one, area code 646. Area code 646?
All righty.
Hello?
Oh, hi, I'm here.
Hey, how's
hi,
your phone?
Hi, Serena.
Serena?
Yeah.
Hey, Serena, what's happening?
Got a question. I had the opportunity to do some extra work with a woman, and I wasn't really happy doing it. And I'm wondering if it might be worth my while to revisit that.
You got an opportunity to do some work with somebody, like a colleague.
I had, and then I just sort of like let it. I'm sorry, it's noisy here.
Oh,
I apologize.
You decided not to do it, and you want to know
yeah.
if you should revisit it. Gotcha, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. I was a little
yeah.
confused at first, but I got you now.
No, I'm sorry.
There's a lot of rules and kind of silly ones around the situation. And it's something you could do that you could plant. But it's going to take time to grow. I don't know if that makes any sense to you. But it's more whether you have the patience and the inclination to put up with the silly little rules, or I don't know. It's almost like I hear the word rules constantly, rules, or the way things have to do. It's kind of strict, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, then actually, that tells me all I need to know, because it didn't work the first time because of that. It wasn't rules per se, it was just the orientation to it. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, it just feels to me like it's going to be...
more of that.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to take a lot of patience, and do you have the time, do you have the inclination, are you willing, you know? It's almost like there's an immaturity to the situation, too. Not on your part. No, not on your part. On whatever is causing, I don't know, it's almost like an immature thing.
All right. Okay, no, then I got my answer. Thank you, because, yeah, that sort of, yeah, it's pretty clear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. I'm going to get off the phone because, I mean, I know it's loud here and stuff. So.
thanks for calling. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay.
Bye-bye. Serena was the name of Samantha Stevens' bewitched sister's name, right? It was Serena. She was the other one with the black hair.
I think so. I love that show.
I do too. Okay, so we have area code 843. Are you there?
Yes.
Hello?
South Carolina. Hey.
What's happening?
Not much at all, actually.
I hear you. What is your name?
Is it hot there? Is it hot where you're at?
Yeah, it is. It's 82 right now.
Mm. Jeez.
Yeah.
What is your name, honey?
It's Maggie.
Maggie. Okay, Maggie, do you have a question for Yvette?
Yeah, there's a guy at work. I don't know. I don't even know how I'm gonna even. Yeah, I'm attracted. I'm gonna say I'm attracted. And I have some questions here and there just to see, you know, how he would answer. And plus, like, he's like the only other single guy in the area because everyone else is married. And they're trying to push their married views on me. And I'm not crazy. Some of this stuff don't sound right. So I want to know another person's view. And, you know, I'm just fishing, I guess. I don't know.
All right, so you got a guy at work that you're attracted to?
Yes.
And you aren't sure if he's single? Is that what you're saying?
No, he is single. He's single.
I'm not sure if if you should pursue it or whatever?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, it's confusing because I'm not really attracted to many guys, period, anyway.
Right, because you have a great sense of who you are and a great self-esteem.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah, and you kind of, and you can't play a player, right?
No, you can't. Not that I am a player. It's just if it's
no, I know you're not. I'm not saying you're a player. But
yeah.
You've had enough. You've been played enough that you could be a player if you so desired. Not that you would.
Yes.
But you
exactly.
you got the game.
Yes.
So, yeah. This looks hopeful. You need to trust yourself and trust your instincts. Don't let him give you the answers you want to hear. You got it. I mean, you don't really even need an answer to your question. Actually, you already know. You can't. You're not going to get fooled. So you trust yourself. If something doesn't make sense, it's not true.
He is what he is, and he doesn't sugarcoat he seems a lot like me, kind of.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I liked so much. And plus, he's cute as hell a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think he's very cute. Handsome. He's handsome, as my daughter would say.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. I just feel like that your instincts are right on. So you listen to what your gut's telling you, not what your head's telling you, but what your gut's telling you. And if you feel like he's straight up and he's a good guy, then don't let your fear of being played keep you from pursuing that. You're
oh my
not
goodness,
gonna get.
Ain't ask for his number. I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
To know,
oh,
I
go for
get
it.
To know him, you know. Get to know him. Talk to him more. See what he's about. You know what I mean?
Oh, I have.
Okay. Well, then you're still interested, so maybe you should go out for coffee with him or something like that.
I want him to ask.
No. I think you should do it. I think you've got the self-esteem and the self-confidence to pull it off, where lots of us would never do that. So I think you should, I mean, you've got something special. You got the magic. I think you should use it.
Right.
You know? Just because it's traditional for the guy to ask or you feel like that's the way it should be, no. I think you should go for what you want. You do that in the rest of your life anyway. If you see something, you want it. You take it. So why not?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're definitely right.
So I wouldn't mess around with this. I'd just take it too. I mean, you've already checked him out. He answered the questions properly. I wouldn't wait for him. I'd go for it.
Okay, I didn't want him to look at me like I was crazy.
No.
Nope, you're not crazy.
Okay.
You're not crazy. You just go, girl.
Yeah, go and
you
get
it.
Go and get it.
Right, well, I might ask you
tomorrow then.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Well, hey, good
you're
luck.
Welcome. All right.
Bye-bye. Okay, the next area code. The next area code we are taking is 410. 410, are you there?
Hello. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi, my name's Maria.
Maria, how you doing, Maria?
Hi, I'm doing great. I wanted to ask you a question about if you see me in the future getting, I read your profile. I wondered if you saw me having a child and getting married at some point in my life, because I'm getting older myself.
Yeah.
I hear you, Maria. I'm Methuselah, and I still haven't gotten married. She's like, who's Methuselah?
Yeah. Well, of course, I can't tell you about medical issues like getting pregnant or anything like that, because I just can't. But let me see what I see here. I see that you have the ability to manifest whatever it is you want. I also see you in a place of indecision. Maybe not. It feels like a place of peace, like you've come to an okayness about where you're at, but it really doesn't feel all that comfortable to you, and you want more. And so you just have to, kind of like we were telling the last girl, you have to go out and make it happen for yourself. There's hope. Of course, there's hope that you can do it, but there's also a certain sense that... whatever your decision, whatever you choose, we all have choices in life, and you can choose to have the traditional thing, or you can choose not to. And if it's important to you, all you have to do is make it happen for yourself. You have like all the tools for it. You know, I'm not exactly sure if you've been too busy career wise or something, or what it has been. You know, or it just hadn't been time, or it just hadn't happened. But you can make it happen for yourself. It's just this place that you're in right now is familiar, but it's not necessarily comfortable. So you might have to stretch yourself a little bit. So I don't know if
the baseline is comfortable, or I'm not sure I understood.
No, it's familiar.
it's not necessarily comfortable. Sometimes in life we're in situations where it's familiar, so there's a certain amount of comfortable there, but it's not really all that comfortable because we want more or we want something different. Or, you know, so it feels like a place of peace, but it's kind of a false sense of security and peace because we really, there is a yearning in us for something different, you know. So don't get stuck in that place just because it's familiar. Kind of stretch yourself out of your familiar zone. But
right.
I see.
Well,
go ahead.
I mean, obviously, I do have to meet someone that's suitable, and I can make that happen, but there also has to be the opportunity there. I can't just,
right. And that's where you're in the driving seat. I mean, if you're in a place where there are no good men or women or, you know, whatever you want a relationship with, then you need to fix that. You know, if you're, I mean, I don't know what your situation is, but if you're in a small town where there's everybody's either married or you wouldn't have anything to do with them, you know, then you do need to go out. I mean, you can't, it's not going to come to you. And you have to put yourself in situations where you can meet people and find people and of like-mindedness and stuff like that. But you're in the driving seat. You can do that, you know. I don't know how many relationships I always say the best place to find a man is in the supermarket, but I've never seen anybody in the supermarket that I wanted anything to do with.
I have.
Well, maybe you have better supermarkets there than I do here, but I don't know, you know. It's just, online is a good resource. It's, you know, for meeting people and stuff like that. Find something that you like to do and go there and do it. There'll be somebody there, you know. It's just, you have to create this for yourself, but you have all the tools at your hands. You can do that. You drive this train. It's your train. Create the life that you want. And I know that seems overly simple, you know, but it truly is, in a sense, that simple, you know.
Right.
But you have to do stuff to make that happen. You have to use what is at hand to make it happen for you. And you have to know yourself really well.
Okay. I think I understand.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, ladies.
Thank you. And that's a really hard thing to hear sometimes, you know, that you got to do the work. And it's like, you know, I don't like to hear that either. All right, we're going to take this one real quick. We got 2 minutes left. Area code 630. Are you there?
Hi. Yes, I am.
Okay. You got to talk quick. You got to talk quick because we got like two minutes left.
Okay. Well, really my question is a question of just knowing or figuring out if I'm going to reach, I guess, my potential. That's been like the key word in my life right now. Just potential. I'll say one more time. But this is
we can't hear you, honey.
Yeah, we can't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, now I can hear you.
Okay. I guess I just wanted to know, like, what path I need to take in order to reach my full potential.
All right. The answer I can give you, the quick answer, since we are short on time, is don't be so focused on the solutions that you forget what the problem is, and that's sort of cryptic, but pull back a little bit. It's kind of like seeing the trees but not seeing the forest. Pull back a little bit from your life. Don't over analyze everything that you do. Pull back a little bit and try to figure out exactly where you want to go and how you want to do it. And don't focus in on the details of what you need to do right here and now and make, you know, like you, I almost see you like scribbling lists of stuff, you know, and stuff like that. Don't focus so much on the little tiny details that you forget
what exactly it is. And if you don't know what it is, then that's where you need to start, as opposed to with the details. I know you like details.
Yes. You're oriented, for sure.
Yeah, yes. So pull back a little bit. Make sure you know what the situation is before you concentrate on the details. It's a little out of your comfort zone because you are very detail-oriented. But also, spend some time outdoors. That will help for some reason. Notice things outdoors. Notice beauty and notice those things. And not the details, not the teeny tiny leaves on the trees, but the big picture of it. Practice that a little bit and do it outdoors because I feel like you connect a little bit with the outdoors.
Definitely. Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I wish you the best of luck. But, you know, that detail-oriented is great. It is wonderful. But, and we need it in our lives. But don't get so honed in on it that you forget what the bigger picture is. Okay?
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Okay, and we have area code. Are you still there, Yvette?
I am still here.
Okay, we have area code 661. 661, you are on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Sure.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah? What's going on?
Just wondering about, you know, love life. What's going to happen and all that shit? What do you see?
All right. Are you looking for love or do you have love and you want to know what's going on with that?
No, I mean, it'd be nice.
Or do you have love and you're looking for another love?
No, nothing like that. Just,
okay.
No, I'm single, just, you know.
All right.
What is your name, by the way?
Yeah, what is your name?
Oh, my name is Bob, or Bobby,
Bob.
Doesn't matter which.
Okay.
Let me see here. Were you recently involved with someone?
No.
Well, there's someone, I see a female in your life or around you in your energy that has kind of been difficult or, I don't know, maybe given you kind of a pause in how you approach relationships. This person is could be kind of mean sometimes. So it kind of affects how you view the world as far as relationships are concerned and your ability to open up. When you are in a situation where you would be dating someone or something, you know, there's a part of you that you kind of keep locked away and hidden. And you tend to, if you get too close, maybe to pull back because of past things. And so it makes you sort of a project to a woman, if that makes sense, or to a partner. Because you're hard to read, you know. And so they're like, this is interesting, that type of thing. So you're only going to get as good as you give. So if you meet someone who is interesting to you and has the qualities that you desire in a partner, then just be aware of your tendency to shut down when you get too close and pull back. And that will help with finding love and progressing past a certain point that you get to. Does that make sense?
Maybe a little bit, the first part. I mean, with past experiences or whatever, kind of do like keep your guard up higher, you know. And
right, right. And you
become more
of a
hermit
just a little
early
bit.
In before.
Yeah,
because you don't want to go through that garbage anymore. It's like, you know, that stuff's very... Well, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's, you know, it hurts. So.
I know.
Yeah. It's tough. I mean, it's tough. And our stuff that we carry with us from relationship to relationship affects how we view the next relationship and how much of ourselves we're willing to give and how much of ourselves we want to keep back. And it can cause us to miss opportunities sometimes. But just know that when you present this mystery person, you know, this person that's kind of wrapped in an aura of mystery, yourself, to some women, they're going to see you as a project. Oh, we must unlock his mysteries. So it's kind of a selling point, really, because women love a project.
Well, quite frankly,
seems like
I'm,
they like bad boys.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Yeah. Yeah. They like guys that I'll say it. You probably don't like this, but I'll say it because it's truth is what I've seen. But they like guys that abuse them more than they'll complain about it and say they want a decent guy, and then they meet a decent guy that crap on him, and then they go run to some other jerk that's going to abuse them again.
Well,
it's
the thing is
that,
yeah, and I think a lot of women had bad abusive fathers, and that might be one reason why they tend to sway toward that kind of guy. My father has always been the greatest, most kindest man, and I never would put up with an asshole. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
But I think,
I know, like Bob, I was talking before.
You know, where we get in a place sometimes as women, or as men too, we get in a place that's familiar to us, but it's not necessarily comfortable. But we stay there because it's familiar. So we choose these relationships over and over again, these abusive relationships, because it's familiar. It's not comfortable. It's not right, but it's familiar. And
it's
so it's not so much a rejection of a decent person or a decent fellow, but as more of a, it's more our own internal problem of not being able to get out of our familiar place and not recognizing that we're deserving of comfort as well as love, you know.
Right, right.
So just
and
a little tip about women there.
Well, I think that's true, Yvette, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Bob, what are you saying?
I mean, they don't realize how it affects, like, a bunch of decent men. I mean, I'm not the only guy saying it. I know about 1,000 guys that are saying the same thing. They're all decent guys, man.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just it's very frustrating for a lot of men these days, man, I'll tell you. I know personally I've experienced it.
Well,
times where, like, you know, some girl chose some loser, ugly abuser over, you know, guy like
no
me.
No kidding.
And,
I see it all the time, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But the thing is, that at least when you find the girl that's right and it isn't like hiding, you know, taking shelter in abuse, at least you know she's a real woman. You know what I mean? And they are.
It's like, where are those at? It seems like there aren't any of those. I mean,
well,
it's next to impossible to find.
Have you tried the grocery store?
Actually, you know what? It's funny. I was listening to that and, back in the day, I actually met most. I used to work in a grocery store, and that's when I had like the one decent, you know, summer love in my life, and that was the only time I ever really had anything decent. The rest of it's been a bunch of garbage. But I have dated a few girls from working in that grocery store for about 5 years.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
You may be the one that statistics are, you know, are for, because you go to the grocery store, but. You know, just remember that these women who do this, they come from a place of being wounded, and that it's not personal, that it's their own personal wound that causes them to act like that. So, you know, and not everyone, most everyone is wounded in some way, but not everyone has an open, fresh wound. And hopefully a girl come along that will have worked through those issues in her life. And
yeah, I mean,
we'll be able to see and appreciate a decent man, you know. And that, and you're right. It's like catching fish, you know. It's like catching fish because you're not always going to get the best catch. So you keep throwing it back until you get the one you want, you know.
Yeah. It just seems like, you know, as a man, it's like you don't get the respect you deserve. And you get your... Your kindness mistaken for weakness, whereas women are concerned these days, man. And it's just,
well, I mean, you've got to be, you've got to be just as alert and vigilant as women have to be towards men. I mean, there's a lot of mean people and nasty people out there looking to take advantage of people. And so you have to have the same discernment that you would use in a business, or you would use in a business partnership, or you would use in, you know, whether you take a offer a ride to someone or something, you know, that discernment that you use, that common sense, that street smarts that you use for other areas of your life has to be applied to women. Just because they're women or just because they're somebody you might have a romantic interest in doesn't make them all unicorns and glitter, you know?
Right, right.
So you have to use the same discernment that you would use in your business or in your, if you were on the street, you know, that you would in relationships. Because there's a lot of people looking to take advantage. Yeah.
Sugar and spice and everything nice is definitely not true.
No.
But I know, but Bob, here's on the other side of the coin, how often do you think we look for good men that we can't freaking find? You know what I mean?
Yeah, see, I hear women saying that all the time, but it's like from my point of view, it's like you guys need to clean your glasses, because I know a lot of really good guys who are just sitting there saying, man, women want you to be a jerk. You know what I mean? So it's like this big wall in between the sexes or something these days. I don't know how to explain it. I'm no expert at it, that's for sure.
I think it's a difference in perspective. I just honestly think that for the majority of the people, with the exception of the ones that are in it for what they can get out of it, for the majority of people looking for a relationship, we're all really looking for the same thing. All we really want from life is someone who loves us for who we are, who accepts us for who we are, and who recognizes us for who we are. And what we bring to that is so different. You know, we all come with wounds and garbage and baggage and stuff like that. And just the chances of connecting with someone who's in the exact same spot as we are and who's in the same, along the same path that we've been going on, it's difficult. In the numbers, it is a numbers game, and it is hard to find, but it is worth looking for, if that makes sense. It's worth looking for. And it's worth the effort. Don't give up on it. Don't let your past experiences, don't let even yesterday's experiences influence your desire to find it. It's there. It's just a numbers game.
Where is there? That's the question. Where is there?
It's out
like,
there.
No.
Well, I mean, Bob, have you tried online dating, Bob?
Nah.
Because, you know, well, this is what I hear about online dating from my male friends, is that all the girls are looking for a guy to make a certain amount of money. And you know what I mean? It's like, you know, I kind of agree with Bob in a lot of ways in that women.
That's one of the big ones.
Yeah, women.
That's one of,
like, are you a freaking gold digger as a woman? Or are you like, are you mindful? And you know what I mean? I don't understand these girls. You know what I mean?
Well,
and the younger they are,
think,
the more stupid they seem to be.
Yeah, it's true. One of the things I notice is, like, they always want to strut around like they're independent, but yet they're all looking for a super rich guy.
Totally, totally.
Because they read a Cinderella when we were little.
Yeah.
They read a Cinderella when we were little. They told us that our prince in shining armor was going to ride in. He was going to save us, and he was going to take care of us. And lots of us grew up in traditional two-parent homes, where we received our expectation of what it was going to be like, where our mother was taken care of by our father. It's a different world now, but yet you still carry those influences from there, from that place
that you came from. For men, it was always that girls are sugar and spice and everything nice. And then you get into adulthood, and they're cheating on you and stabbing you in the back and stealing money. I had one poke me in the eye. Told me she loved me, and she cheated. She poked me in the eyeball. I'm not joking here.
Oh, my
and
God.
I can show you my left eye. It looks like a marble from her. And this same little girl told me she loved me, but yet she cheated on me with half the town of Baltimore, Maryland, stole money. It's just a horror story. And she was a typical abuse case. She was raped at 4 years old by her own uncle repeatedly.
Yeah.
Later in her life, I'm the only guy that ever gave her any kind of respect, and look what I got out of it. You know what I mean? Just
I know. Tell me about it. So my current boyfriend married a girl from another country simply to get her out of the mess in the other country and to get her a green card. What she did to him over the next 12 years is unheard of. I mean, you wouldn't believe. She stabbed him. She threatened to jump out the window, like at a 18-story building, and they were on the 18th floor. She threw hot wax in his face. She completely, like, broke him to her best ability.
Yeah.
But you know what? What the hell? It's like, so now, you know, I mean, he's still getting over it, really.
He'll never get over that.
Yeah.
Not fully. It's always going to be in the back of your head, man. In the back of my mind is all my bad experiences. And there's been more than one. She wasn't the only one, you know.
Well,
she was just the worst of the bunch.
In the back of their head is they're abusive. I mean, in the back of their mind, they're never going to get over their experiences either, their abuse. So use your discernment. That's where your discernment comes in. I mean, ask questions before you involve yourself. You know, find out about their background. And know that unless they've done an enormous amount of self-work, that to escape that kind of life and to be a normal person requires a lot of self-love and self-work. And unless they've done all that, I wouldn't have anything to do with them. Use your discernment.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like I'm not never been very good at it. So I'm like at a disadvantage and stuff, and then I go wading into a minefield.
Well, you survive
and, you know,
in this world, so you have some sense of discernment, I'm sure. You know, it's not easy being out in the real world. You know, it's not easy every day. You come in contact with people that are looking to take advantage of you and looking to harm you in some way, and you just have to be smart and use your senses, and you know, just in the same way that you do that, just to survive in this world. Do that in a relationship. It sounds very unromantic, but you actually have to treat it like it's sort of a business in a sense, and you are an asset.
And Bob, I wonder if you ever tried, you know, meetup.com? It's like there's, do you know what that is?
I think I was on that site once before. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not necessarily a dating site at all. It's you meet up with, you join a group, say, that's into UFOs or something.
Some type that you're into, and they go have.
Yeah, but you get together and you hang out with these people, and who knows? I mean, one thing leads to another. And so it sounds to me like you're mindful, and you need to be around people like that, not freaking idiots that are just like, you know, lost in life and, you know, looking to hang on to some gold freaking board or something like that. It's like you need somebody with real brains and, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know?
If you wouldn't go into business with them, don't date them.
Well, here's what I say. I think you shouldn't have sex with anyone you wouldn't want to have a child with. Okay?
That too.
Yeah.
That works
now,
for me.
That's been my rule of thumb. You know what I mean?
At this point in my life, I don't really want to have any kids. So, but then again, I'm not trying to be celibate for the rest of my life.
Right.
Sounds like you just need some fun.
Some what?
Fun.
Fun, yeah.
Oh, I mean, you know.
Well, you do go out, right? Bob, you go out and like, meet up with friends and stuff or what, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't go out as much as I used to. I mean, but, you know, I know that nobody's going to just knock on the door either. You know what I mean?
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah, I do go out, but not as much as I used to, like 10 years ago or something, but, you know.
Right.
I mean, I used to have to be out of the house every single night, but I've changed, man. I don't know. I guess I've become jaded, to be honest.
Well,
the hangovers got worse.
Yeah, but the, you know,
that's
become,
what kept me inside.
Right. Well,
you
know,
I used to be able to party all night and get up at 6 a.m. in the morning and go to work. Now it takes me 2 days to recover, sometimes a week.
Yeah, no shit.
You know, it just puts a real damper on your social life.
Yes, it does. But the thing is, Bob, to be jaded is like you do have a – you don't see the block that you have up, but you do because you're suspicious of people and you're like, is this girl going to be us?
Yes.
Idiot. And that's the thing. You got to get rid of that block. And I'm not saying this is your whole problem here, but I'm saying when you have your heart open and you are in a trusting mood or manner or whatever, you go out and you go to a place, you go to a museum, you go to the grocery store, wherever you're going, and you are open and you have that light about you, then you're going to attract that same kind of person. To be jaded is like really just putting up a freaking block, you know?
There's a difference between being jaded and having discernment. And you can ask all the right questions. And when you go out and you're looking for someone and you meet someone that you find attractive and you start to talk to that person, like I said, if you wouldn't do business with them, don't date them. And the person will be easy with the person that you're supposed to be with the right person, and you will know. It will just happen. But you have to go out and you have to not project a wall.
Exactly.
You know? So nobody
yeah,
wants to talk
exactly.
to you. But yeah, I mean, you know, you'll find that person, but you just have to have discernment about how you do it. And treat them like, if you wouldn't go into business with them, don't date them.
Right.
If you want something casual, have something casual, but know that it's just casual. And make sure they know it, too, because, you know, women get confused.
Mm-hmm.
They think, you know.
We all see. I'll testify to that.
Yeah. No, but we are two totally different beings. But, I mean, the fact is, there's women that would be all over you. They would love you. They would appreciate your honesty and your kindness. You just haven't found them yet. And sometimes it takes a freaking long time to find that person, you know?
Yeah.
But you ain't going to find that person if you got this block up and you got this black cloud over your head saying girls suck and girls are mean. I mean, you know what I mean? Just go out there and be like, hey, man, you know, just like think, like, I have this light, I trust, I have an open heart right now, I'm happy. I'm happy because I know I'm going to meet that girl, that woman, whoever. And, you know, I mean, I think that is so important, you know?
But don't put her on your bank account until you're sure. You know?
Okay.
Don't let her... It's a
nobody's
fine line you have to walk.
My bank account.
No shit. No, because
I mean,
you know,
there's not enough of it in there anyway, so it's not going to be no. Some gold digger
really?
Trying to dig at my bank account is going to be sorely disappointed.
No, women. You know, I got to say this about that.
That might be fun to watch as a setup, you know, for a comedy series.
Right.
Girl thinks she struck it rich, and then, you know. A pot of gold at the end of the rainbow had a like, big pile of dog poop in it or something.
No,
what you thought, eh? Oh, boy.
No, but I mean, well, you know, I got to say this about that again. Yvette, women sadly disappoint me. And
I know.
You know what I mean? I've seen so many of them do the wrong thing and just, you know, all right, in my opinion, it's the wrong thing. Sleeping around with all these guys, freaking looking for money, you know, whatever. You know, it's like, come on, man. Do you freaking have a heart and soul? And don't you know what's important in life? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, you know, women, while they mature faster than men, they're still... Young women are still not fully cooked.
Even
know?
Some
so
of the older
not making
ones.
The best. Yeah, well, they're not making the best. Well, if they're older in that case, then I wouldn't have anything to do with them in the first place, because they just, if they don't know it by a certain age, they're not going to get it. They're never going to get it. And they either don't want to, or they just can't figure it out. And
right.
In which case, that's not someone you want to spend the rest of your life with or have a relationship with.
But Yvette, why is it that me and you were, like, fine when we were, like, 13 years old?
I have no idea.
I've been a cool girl since, I was a teenager. In fact, I'm so cool that every guy I've ever dated has no money. I don't care. I don't care about the money. It's not the money, man. It's like what? You
yeah,
know,
I can do you one better. Most of the guys I've dated never had jobs.
Right. Well, no, wait a minute. I can also agree to that, Yvette. But wait a minute. No, it's true. Well, yes, on the few occasions I've had a boyfriend, none of them had jobs, okay?
Yeah.
In fact, yeah. I refused to marry a guy that asked me to marry him. I was attracted to him. He was kind of cute. He was a millionaire. And I gave him a test, and I said, you know, we were in a meadow drinking some wine, and I said, go over to that tree and get me those orange leaves. It was autumn. He wouldn't do it because he was going to look stupid. You failed the test. Guess what? I'm not marrying you. You know what I mean? That was his test, and he failed. So that's how
I would be the girl that said, let me go over there and get them for you and bring them back.
Right. No, I wanted him. He should have went and got him for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that was, like, a little freaking thing he could have done. Didn't cost any money. It was just like, I love those leaves. Can you go pick me some? No, I can't. I'm going to look stupid. Well, guess what? You're looking even more stupid now, married to a freaking idiot that you are now. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Well, I mean, and that may be the difference between our backgrounds, too, because you grew up with a father who was loving and kind and gentle, and I grew up with a father who was mean and you know, never accepted me for who I was, and so I was always seeking acceptance, and so I would do what it took to get that acceptance. So I
right.
supported these men. I took care of these men to my own detriment. And the only thing that changed that for me was having my child. And when I had my child, it was no longer just me that I had to take care of. It was her, and I wasn't going to let her grow up and see that as an example of what love should be. Because
right.
it isn't. It's a give and take thing. And the person that you love, the person that you should be with, is somebody who accepts you for who you are and doesn't try to change you in any way and doesn't have a whole bunch of crap that they're carrying around with them, you know? And that's what true love is. And that's what you deserve. Everyone deserves that.
Right.
Everyone needs that. And everybody craves that. And that's what we all seek.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the difference between me and you, you know, and
yeah.
how we lived our lives and what our experiences, but that's what we bring to a relationship also.
Right. So the next part of that story of the leaves in autumn was that the next day I went out with this other guy I was going out with, and I said, those leaves are so pretty. Can you go get me some? And he did, and he brought them back, and I went out with him for 21 years.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
you see, some girls are better than others.
And everyone comes from a different place, but basically, we're, you know, we all carry with us our past experiences, and especially our formative years experiences when
mm-hmm.
we were 12, 13, 14, when those
right.
those ideas about men were being formed and how we felt about our fathers. And so these wounded girls are going to tend to lash out. They're going to tend to treat.
And a lot of them, as Bob said, Yvette, a lot of them have been sexually abused.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
And, oh, it's so horrible. I can't believe that actually, you know, girls getting molested by their family members is so rampant. You know what I mean? And it really, it
mm-hmm.
does, it does something to a girl that you cannot freaking repair. You know,
yeah,
a lot
there
of
are
her.
Wounds
she,
so deep that you cannot repair.
She'll never, ever be a normal person. It was impossible to have a relationship with her. It was just, she just would not stop doing cruddy stuff. I mean, just, I don't know if it was a call for attention, but it was like, what's going to wind up happening? Somebody's going to wind up killing her one day because she's doing cruddy stuff to somebody. And those parts of Baltimore aren't very forgiving lots of times, you know.
Yeah, but
Bob,
the
rough city. The rough
cities. Right. I know. Yeah, I've been to Baltimore a few times. I actually liked it, but I believe you if you say it's rough.
Yeah.
You know, she probably felt...
Forget the Inner Harbor.
Right,
it's
right.
It's not the real Baltimore. Well, it is Turnington.
What,
it's getting pretty rough there, too, now. But.
Oh, shit. But the thing is, these girls don't believe that they deserve something good. So they will push it away. Because I can't possibly deserve that. You know what I mean? I mean, it makes sense to me, you know, that these girls act that way, you know? But they're not all like that. They're out there. Believe me, Bob, they're out there. You know, there's good women out there. Like, I can think of
next question.
Right now.
Where is there?
I know. I know.
It's there.
Well,
where is
they
there?
They got to be somewhere in Baltimore. There's got to be a few somewhere in Baltimore. You just have to find out what where they are, you know?
Right.
Looking for a few good women.
Yeah, to join the Marines, right? I mean, I'm a former Marine, too, so looking for a few good women. I was one of those few good men.
Yeah.
You know.
You know,
that's awesome. Thank you for your service, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you very much for saying that. It means a lot, actually. It's funny because when I was in the Marine Corps, I got to travel halfway around the world and back, and I saw, like, other cultures. I mean, women treat men different. They really do. I was in Australia, the Philippines, Thailand. Australian women, oh my God, they treat American men like royalty.
Right.
You know, not like here. Here you get crapped on, man.
No, that's where you need to get on the internet because you can meet some people like that. You can meet people from other cultures. You can expand your horizons. You don't have to stay in, you know, Baltimore. You don't have to be right there, you know.
Right. Right.
You can actually expand your horizons. And actually, speaking on the computer and chatting and getting to know someone, you can actually get to know them with a depth that you might not get to know in a bar, you know, before things happen.
No, but you know what? If I was a guy, I would go to Europe to find a girl or somewhere else because I can't believe.
Why Europe?
Because they're so friendly. I mean, they're like, they're just Europe. And like you mentioned, you know, parts of Asia and the Philippines, it's like, yeah, this is like, I would not want an American girlfriend. I would, like, seek, you know, pastors elsewhere, man, you know? I don't know. It's just, they seem, you know, even the men, too, are like, you know, they're just, I don't know. Yvette, do you know what I'm saying about men, foreign men?
Well, yeah, even different parts of the country, because I spent some time up in Pennsylvania, and I found the people up there to be way more accepting of me than they were in the Deep South, you know.
Right.
And there's I'm the same person, you know. I'm the same person, but it just was different. It was a different culture. But that's what I mean. That's why I really do think the internet would be a good tool, because you can travel, not physically travel, but you're traveling in a sense to other cultures and stuff, and that might be a place for you to go. You know, that might be where there is.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, if I was looking for a girl, Bob, if I were you, I would go to Ireland. Mm-hmm. If you can afford to go to Ireland, I would go to Ireland. Yeah. It's just...
I don't
know.
They might stab him again.
No.
Them fiery Irish women with their tempers.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No, I bet they would.
And they like to drink.
Yeah, that's
so
another.
Redheaded woman.
I had an alcoholic. I'd rather pass on that too.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Wait a minute. You're right. Shit. The girl you find is going to be drinking Guinness in the bar. You know.
That's true.
Oh
right.
God, I can't even.
And don't piss her off.
Guinness. Ugh. That stuff is nasty.
I don't like it either.
But, it tastes like crap, man.
It does. It's like, oh,
I did
my
like,
God.
I liked Australian women. They were very friendly, though.
Oh, Australians are so cool. I love Australians.
Yeah. They're cool.
In fact, my friend is married to an Australian girl. One of my really good friends is married to an Australian girl. Another friend of mine is married to a Brazilian guy. Total great guy. So it's like, you know, all these marriages and relationships that last. My other friend is going out with a guy in Iceland. It's been 7 years. Huh. Got a great relationship. This American shit, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm so glad to hear you say that because American woman.
Good song, though.
And, you know, they were a Canadian band, so maybe Canada's another.
Right, Canada. I played ice hockey.
There you go.
See? Anyways. All right, Bob, we went over time like a half hour now to take your phone call.
All right.
But if you want, you know, I mean, we're going to have Yvette's going to be on again, so click follow so you know when she's going to be on again. And call back in, man, you know, because I want to hear the saga of your continuing journey to find a good woman, you know.
Me too.
Yeah.
Good God. Something better happen soon.
You.
Who knows how much time you got left on this earth?
No, I know. That's true. I know, but Bob could be like a regular segment on the show, Yvette. He could
That's
be
right.
like, okay, I went to Iceland. I looked for a girl. Now I'm back. And then the next week you go to Russia.
Hey, somebody sponsors
well, when
it
the
all,
zombie
you know?
Apocalypse happens, Bob sounds like somebody you want in your corner anyway, so.
Right.
Marine trained killer.
There you go.
Oh,
that's
shit.
Who I want to be around, hanging out with.
You know what? Sometimes I think, you know what? If I just let loose my inner beast, if I had let loose my inner beast, my inner trained killer, former Marine self, and like just showed it off to like city of Baltimore one time, I'd probably be doing really good with women.
Mm-hmm. No
you
kidding.
Know what I mean?
Yeah.
How fucked up it is. Ooh, did I just say that? I'm sorry.
That's okay. I use that word a few times a day.
Yeah. Lately, it's
no,
been
but
a few
you know,
times,
you
every
got
5 minutes for me.
Bob, tell me you're going to go out there like tomorrow or tomorrow night or the next day and just really make an effort to have an open heart and accept the goodness that's going to come your way. Try to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm for that. I just don't want any. But I've always been like that. And then when you do that, it's like somebody sticks that knife in your back, and it's just like going, man, it's like, where's the guarantees that that's not going to happen again? You know what I'm saying? And
right.
I just
right.
don't want to go through anymore.
I don't know. Where's the guarantee in life at all? I mean, honestly.
Right, exactly.
Nothing's really guaranteed. So you can only do the best you can do, you know. Put yourself
yeah.
out there and see what happens. Well, and try the internet. Honestly, try it.
I'll go, you know, circle the world so we can get some sponsors.
Yeah, right.
There you go.
I can't afford it on my own.
No.
Not in that many places.
I know.
Not
no,
every
I,
week. Oh, man. Speaking of another horror story, I actually went out to talking to a girl on the internet. I was actually producing her radio show on Blog Talk Radio, being co-host, and then we were talking for like a good 6 or 7 months, went real slow, and I flew out from Maryland to North Dakota to go meet her, and then within a half an hour, she was disrespecting me, man. And I got on the... Yeah, man. And within about a 24-hour period, she disrespected me about 4 or 5 times, so I was like, drop me off at the bus station. I was back home, no time flat. There's another one.
Wow.
Yep.
That's crazy.
She doesn't ever call me occasionally and say, hey, will you come back and be co-host? I'm like, hold your breath, sweetie. And she had an alcohol problem, and it was like that cable show, what is it, Catfishing, people meeting on the internet, and they're presenting themselves as something they're not. I mean, she had a picture that was like about from 35, 40 years ago when I met her. It was like, right. When I met her, it was just like, holy moly, she's like 70 fucking years old or something.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, man.
Oh, that's
so that was
hysterical.
That was the latest horror story. The one that Pugsy and I was like 3.5 years ago. That's when I ended that thing, that disaster.
You need to write. I said you need to write.
I write your story. I'm a musician.
Oh. Yeah, write your story.
What would the name of my story be? The Hell That Women Have Wrought?
Something like that.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm serious. I've had like one summer when I was like 24 years old. It was like a summer romance. That was like a really good thing. And I even lost that. So that was the one that got away. After that, nothing to.
Well, you know what? Maybe if you come back on the show, we can find you a date online here on our show.
There you go.
Wouldn't that be cool?
I don't know, because I was just talking to somebody about that over the weekend, about like I've never had good luck when somebody tries to set me up for some reason. I'm just like, I'm kind of against it, to be honest.
Bob can play the dating game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You ask questions. And they ask you questions. That would be kind of fun, you guys.
See,
you know?
Bob, how are we taking you on as a project? I told you. Women love the project. So we've decided you are a project.
Yeah, we should do the dating game.
That would be
all single
with
women.
With a supernatural twist.
That's
right. Hey, if it worked, if it actually worked, I'd be open to it if it worked.
wouldn't that be kind of cool, though, if we did?
We'll have to work on the concept.
Right. I just don't want to wind up getting stabbed or poked in the other eye.
I know. Well, that's what you're going to have. Bob, you're going to have to ask the right questions of these women. You know what I mean? You're going to have to say, have you been in an insane asylum for one? That's number one question. Are you a drug addict? And the rest of the
questions. Have you ever stabbed anyone?
Yeah.
Ever poked a man in the eye?
Right.
Or you could create little scenarios like, let's suppose this happened to you. How would you react? And then based on their answers, you could tell if they were a psycho or a normal person, you know?
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
My first question would be, did you have sex with half the town of Baltimore City? Were you raped at 4 by your own uncle?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. No, the girl would be like, no. All right, you guys, I'm talking like I'm in private chat here. I'm not. So. But anyways, Bob, I'm serious about this dating game. I mean, if I can like.
Okay, I'll do it.
Yeah, let's freaking do it, man. All right, so what you got to do is you don't have to give me your picture, but give me your like. Yeah, you know what I mean? Not how much money you make, not that. What are you into? What are your hobbies? That kind of thing, okay? And then I'm going to send a call out to all single women looking for somebody, and let's see what we can do. You know what I mean? I think, you know, I kind of always wanted to do this dating game thing. I think it would be fun, you know?
I think it's a great idea.
You're going to have a theme song and everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Theme song.
I got a theme song. All my exes live in Texas. No, I'm kidding. No, but I mean, I think it could kind of be fun. I just need to get the chicks coming in. You know what I mean?
Hey, what the heck?
Click on Supernatural Radio and then send me an email or send an email through that saying, just tell me what you're into, what are your hobbies, what are your interests, that kind of thing. And then let's like set up a show. And Yvette will actually see in the cards if it's going to work out or not.
There you go. Yeah.
This one's going to poke you in your eye.
Yeah, you better say no to her. No.
I'll be gone so fast. When you blink your eyes, Bobby will not be there.
Right.
It'd be like, you know how fast a Roadrunner is on their cartoons?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be me.
No, but it could be fun. I think it could be really a lot of fun. You know what I mean? And it's up to you if you want to send your picture. I don't think that they need to see your picture, but they might want to see the picture. You know what I mean?
There's, I got a music show actually on Blog Talk Radio. It's called Blues Unchained Music Hour Show.
Okay.
And if you
okay,
go back cool, and look at some of the archives there, there's sometimes a picture of me with a guitar on stage at like University of Maryland's homecoming football game, whatever, whatever.
Right, so, right. Okay.
You know.
So that's a good thing to say, too, that you have this show, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it would be cool, you know?
I do, too.
I'm game.
We give
okay,
it a shot, you know?
What
so send me that.
Can't be any worse, can't be any worse than anything else that's happened already.
Exactly. Exactly.
And maybe in the midst of all this, we'll figure out where there is.
Yeah, that's the main question. Where is there?
Yes, and we will actually, Yvette, we will interview him about what a hard time he's had finding a girl that doesn't want a bad boy. You know what I mean?
There you go.
And maybe women will learn a little lesson here. You know what I mean?
Right.
They need to learn. They need to learn that lesson. They really do, man.
Yeah.
I'll be firm about it. I know what I've seen.
Right. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, you men also, no, I'm not saying you, but men also need to learn a lesson that it doesn't win out if you're an asshole. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean anything except that you got a girl that doesn't have any freaking self-respect. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
So, anyways. All right, send me that email.
Okay, I will.
All right. So I'm gonna end the show, you guys. I like I said, we've gone over like an 45 minutes over, but it was okay. I'm glad we did because now we got a new show going on. So.
That's right.
A new guinea pig. A project.
A project.
Yeah,
I'm telling you,
Bob. Send me the link to your show too, would you?
Sure.
Okay, do that.
Do that.
All right, listen, man. I'm going to talk to you soon, and I'm going to set this up. As soon as you send me the information, I'm going to set the show up.
Okay, cool.
I'm serious, you know. I think it would be really
fine.
Good.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah, good, good, good. All right, brother, listen. Go out tomorrow, have an open heart, and see what you see, and you should be able to discern what woman is a good woman or not. I mean, even if you don't at first, don't worry about it. You make a mistake, who cares? Go on. You know what I mean? But still,
well, now
we don't
want him to find anyone because we want to have the show.
Oh, whatever. No. If he finds someone,
it's first come, first serve. So
that's right. That's right.
Because, hey, man, Tony Soprano died yesterday, so you never know.
Oh, I know.
I know.
I couldn't believe he was only 51 years old. That's fucked.
Yeah.
No?
Being a musician, there was a guy about this time last year. Remember the week when Donna Summer and Donald Duck Dunn died?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah,
well, the same week, there was another guy who died, a great musician, that's probably not anywhere near well known, but he was well known within blues musician circles. A guy named Michael Burks just came back from a European tour and then was in the Atlanta airport and passed out and dead, just dropped dead.
Oh, shit, I didn't know that.
And he was only like 51 or something like that, too. Great guitar player, really cool guitar player.
That's so young,
yep.
You know?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
God.
So you never know. I'm 52 right now, so you never know. And
no,
I know 15 guys that didn't. I know 15 guys that didn't live to be 40. So,
wow.
Just don't know. Got to get
no,
it when you
don't.
Can, I guess. So.
Yeah, no. That's what you got to live while you're here. You know what I mean? That's our job. You know.
Yeah.
All right. Send me the email, and I'm going to talk to you soon. I hope you know.
All right. Thank you so much.
Oh yeah. Thank you. You take it.
You guys take it easy.
Have a good night, Bob. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Yvette, I'm ending the show right now. Are you there?
Okay. Yeah, I'm here.
I'm just going to actually play this song. And no, I won't play this song. What the hell? We're already like way over.
I know.
I'll play the outro. But thanks for hanging in there. And I think this will be really fun if we do... the dating game, you know? I mean, people
yeah,
need
I think it. I think it will be fun, too. And I just, and put if we could put a little supernatural twist on it, that would be, I think that would be fun and people would like it. And maybe we can all learn something about each other.
Yeah, we just need people to, we need women to come in and call in, you know, and be part of it, you know? So that's why
right.
if I can promote this and say, look, at here's this guy that is looking for a, you know, listen, let's face it. There's a lot of lonely people in the world, you know, and they are looking for a good guy. So I say, what the hell? You know what I mean? Anyways.
Yeah.
All right. So we did a lot of, you did a lot of readings tonight, and I appreciate
yes,
it.
I did.
I'm looking for, okay, I got the outro. Okay, so listen, I'll call you in a little bit, Chickie, okay?
Okay.
And thank you again. I'm just going to play the outro and then we're out.
Okay,
but
all right.
Thank
bye-bye.
You. Okay, bye.
Living hell of another world.
Step out of the world you see.
You do not respond.
The supernatural radio show. Open up your mind.
We programmed your brain.
The Supernatural Radio Show.
You must learn to obey.
Brought to you by PurplePlates.com for harmony, healing, and living energy products for a greater quality of life. The Supernatural Radio Show.
That's